to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
An alpha female, the way I define it is a go-getter, very task-oriented. While it can be advantageous in certain areas, and certainly in a marriage and when it comes to love and men, it is not a good thing at all.
I know some prophets who literally have a prophetic batting average worse than a National League bullpen pitcher right now.
The good news of Scripture is that we can come to God with the multitude of our sinful desires and behavior in repentance, knowing that the condemnation for those sins has been taken upon Christ on the cross.
Confessional Lutheran Missionary Campus Pastors, Love, Issues, Etc.
Well, when you see people walking around in the mall, people going to and from work, and they have that black smudge on their forehead, it kind of catches your attention. If you didn't notice, it is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten cycle among churches that Christian churches that observe it. What are the ashes about? It's kind of a basic question, maybe, that a reporter might want to answer by asking a few people who have the ashes on their heads, or I don't know, where else would you go if you wanted to do a story on Ash Wednesday and the season that follows it, Lent. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Ash Wednesday, March the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will join us here in the first half hour. We're going to talk about media coverage of Ash Wednesday and Lent a little bit later. Two issues to discuss with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, author and editor of more than 50 books, including Giant in Chains, China Today and Tomorrow. We're going to talk about religious persecution that is heating up in China, even as the Vatican is seeking to get the ordination of some bishops in that communist country. We'll also talk about a theory that says religion was key to humans' social evolution, basically keeping civilization alive and from destroying itself. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, to the first Sunday in Lent with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about media coverage of Ash Wednesday and Lent. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and of the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So take yourself back in time. You're a young reporter. Your assignment editor says, hey, Mattingly, go out and write me a story on Ash Wednesday and Lent. Where do you begin?
Well, the first thing I would ask, and that I did ask back then, is whether or not the editor basically saw this as a photo opportunity. In other words, did they actually want a story about this subject, or did they just want about 5 or 6 inches of type that went under a photograph of a person having ashes placed on their forehead in a Catholic or Episcopal church or some other location in the city?
What's the difference?
Well, I mean, 5 or 6 inches of type is like, hey, this is happening today. Or did they actually want me to do a story about the traditions behind this holiday and the fact that this leads to another logical question, which I would always ask. Do you want me to write about Roman Catholic Lent, Orthodox Lent, Anglican Lent, or the kind of smorgasbord do-it-yourself Protestant Lent that has become so crucial and trendy in our culture today? Based on my reading right now, you could also throw in the concept of millennial Lent, meaning millennial generation Lent. In other words, right now there is absolutely no agreement on what Lent means in our nation. It's a word everybody talks about, and Ash Wednesday, They kind of know that that's something Catholics do. A really informed person may know that Ash Wednesday has something to do with back to the dust you return a message about mortality. You know, that this is a service in which you're reminded of your mortality and your need for repentance. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So why do editors seem to think this is important? I've got my theories here, but before I give you a couple of theories of mine, let me turn that around just to ask you for a second. When you think of Lent and Ash Wednesday, what's the first thing that comes in your mind?
Oh, that's a very good question. I guess the first thing that comes to mind is the imposition of ashes. And at least in my tradition, Terry, it's a very conservative and liturgical Lutheran tradition. It's kind of a 50-50 split as to whether it's not that churches don't do it. They offer it, but it's not always availed of there. So I guess that would be the first simple thought I'd have is that practice of imposing ashes.
My impression is that there are Lutheran congregations that this is a really big part of their identity, that they are a parish that emphasizes Lent and thus emphasizes Ash Wednesday. And that may set them apart from other Lutheran parishes in terms of kind of a liturgical emphasis here. But notice that you gave a very informed answer from within your own tradition. If you walk up on the street to people across America and you say, hey, Lent is starting, what's the first thing you think of? They're going to say, oh, what are you giving up for Lent? I mean, that's the first thing that comes out of their mouth. A couple of years ago, I actually did a column on this in which I set out, I spent like 2 weeks doing some background research on this. I tried to find out where this idea came from that in Lent, you thought it through and you made a personal decision on what you were going to give up. Where did the I'm giving up Diet Coke for Lent thing come from? And what's really fascinating about this, and would make a great story, and I hope it made a good column, is that we have no idea where that came from. I talked to church historians that the idea of giving up one thing for Lent is not a part of any known Christian tradition. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
My personal inclination is to say something like, when in doubt, blame it on the Anglicans. You know, in terms of people kind of always compromising on things, Lent means this, Lent means this, which means Lent means something in the middle. But no, this is not in the Anglican tradition. In the Anglican tradition, they have a variation on the Roman Catholic traditions linked to the common Western calendar. I'll get to Orthodox Lent here in a moment if people are curious. But they didn't come up with a give up one thing for Lent. I heard a very interesting theory from a Catholic priest, an elderly Catholic priest, in Washington when I was there writing this column. And this is the most logical theory that I've heard anyone give. And that is that before Vatican II, back when Catholics had a pretty rigorous Lenten discipline in their church, the whole idea that you make children do the full Lent was out of the question. So in Catholic schools, he said, many of these schools said, well, you're not going to do the full Lenten fast from meat, you know, and these other things. So thus, children, why don't you guys decide one thing you want to give up for Lent? It's not in the tradition, but it's kind of a child-friendly thing to kind of tiptoe into Lent. Then when Vatican II changed so much and included so many changes in disciplines relating to fasting and penance, that to some degree, I don't think Catholics today know what's in their canon law. And to some degree, it's up to their local bishop on kind of how these things are interpreted. Thus, lacking confusion, they kind of went back in their minds to childhood and said, well, what am I going to give up for Lent? And as a society, this concept kind of took over as the idea of Lent. What's really fascinating to me is, back to your original question, is why does this particular event get so much coverage from the news media? And that returns me to this idea of the photo op. I think that in most newsrooms, in the newsrooms I worked in, a very high percentage of the people in the room, if they had an identifiable religious perspective, the dominant viewpoint in the room was ex-Catholic, cultural Catholic, or Episcopalian. Out of the people I knew that went to church, in the newsrooms in which I worked, and by the way, none of them were in the Sun Belt. This, you know, we're talking Midwest and Colorado, and well, I guess Charlotte would have been in the Sun Belt or on the edge of it. Definitely, there was an awareness that today is Ash Wednesday. I'm a sort of Catholic. Do I go get ashes? Now that leads to the question, if I, as a sort of Catholic, go and get ashes, do I come back to the newsroom with ashes on my forehead? Now, do you see how this might create an awareness, you know, year after year? And it's an easy photograph. Somebody runs down, you take a picture, it comes back, it looks religious. It looks like you're paying attention to religion. I mean, what do Southern Baptists do that are as distinct and colorful as the imposition of ashes? It's a chance to put religion in the paper with a photograph, and you don't have to do much else. Which leads to my ultimate question here. If Ash Wednesday and Lent get a lot of coverage, and it seems like they do, are newspapers actually covering Ash Wednesday and Lent? Are they covering what people think Ash Wednesday and Lent is about in American culture? Are they actually covering the religious season and the traditions that go with it? Or has Lent, in a bizarre sort of way, become kind of fun? Like, oh, this is cool, this is hip, this is even funny. You know, you get those annual lists from Christianity Today and everybody else on, well, here's what the social media tell you everybody's giving up this year. People are giving up Donald Trump for Lent. You know, people are giving up Diet Coke is one you hear a lot. People are, you have the old one, I'm giving up chocolate, etc. But if that doesn't actually have anything to do with the traditions of Lent in terms of Christian history, what are you covering? So that's my question originally to editors was, do you want a story about Lent or do you want a story about what Americans think Lent is about? And they'd go, well, what's the difference? And I'd say, well, if you give me X number of inches of type and a couple of days to work on this, I'll tell you the difference. But see, that's a different kind of story, isn't it?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Ash Wednesday and Lent. He had mentioned millennial Lent. I'm wondering if it's just another thing they've picked up that's retro, that is makes it's a little bit vintage. Another practice along with the beards and the skinny jeans, ashes on the head. We'll talk about millennial Lent after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of Ash Wednesday and Lent. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College of New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and of the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He'll also be making the case for news discernment at our Summer Issues Etc. Making the Case conference Friday, June the 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's about 15 miles east of St. Louis. We'll also be sponsoring a Winter Making the Case conference November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. You can find out more and register for either or both conferences at issuesetc.org. Terry, you had mentioned earlier Millennial Lent, and I take it from something you've written recently, that millennials are really likely to at least dabble in the pieties of Lent.
Well, it was really interesting, and I need to read up more on this. I saw a reference to it and then did some quick research and found out that we're talking about a study that was done by a survey team connected to Georgetown University. So I assume there's at least some Catholic implications to this. But it did say that millennials are more likely than others to say that they're going to take part in Lenten traditions, which once again returns us to the question, what are Lenten traditions? You know, and I thought to myself, does this mean they're really going to seriously fast from meat and dairy? Are they going to go to lots of extra long worship services, add to their prayer regime? But here comes the crucial question in a Catholic context when you're dealing with the heart of the Lenten tradition, which is penitence. Are these millennial, are these young Catholics going to go to confession? If only 4% of American Catholics, 4 to 7 or whatever, practice confession in any way that resembles the canonical tradition of their church, are these millennials going to go to confession? That struck me as a very interesting subject, and I hope to dig into that some. Because otherwise, if millennials are giving up something for Lent, if we're back to that shtick again, what do millennials give up for Lent? I mean, would it be something serious like lattes? And if so many millennials are vegetarians or vegan, they're already giving up meat, in some cases meat and dairy. Would a serious sacrifice for a lot of millennials be giving up kale? You know, I mean, in other words, if the whole idea is to give up something that's crucial to you, or how about this one? If we're talking about, you know, in terms of simplifying your life, et cetera, what if a lot of millennials gave up fashion? You know, and for 40 days, the millennial equivalent of sackcloth and ashes would be like, I don't know, khakis from L.L. Bean, you know, and some baggy T-shirts. You know, or sweatshirts, something that didn't let the world know that you're skinny and ripped, you know, or whatever. In other words, we're back to this whole idea, which is so American, isn't it? That Lent is what you decide it is. When the actual concept of the ancient traditions of Lent is that there is a Lenten discipline that is centuries old. And rather than this being about you, and your creative and sometimes funny choice about what you're going to do for Lent. Lent is becoming a part of a body that has already decided what it's going to do. And that this is the body that, because of mortality, you're hoping, you're praying, you're confessing that you will join for eternity. Isn't that kind of the opposite of American individualism? So in Orthodoxy, the people that practice Lent in Orthodoxy, and that's a lot of people, we actually use the most ancient forms of the traditions, which means that for us, fasting that affects food and things takes place all through the years. There are other penitential seasons. The other big one is Nativity Lent, which you and I have talked about before, Advent in the West, whereas the second most important quiet, low-key penitential season in all of Christendom has basically been bulldozed by the shopping mall and enough Christmas parties, you know, to add 3 inches to your waistline. So you've got penitence there. You've got penitential season, a major one in the summer. You're fasting from meat or meat and dairy on Wednesdays and Fridays most of the year. And then you have the massive penitential season of Lent with all kinds of extra worship services, all kinds of things going on, and it gets your attention. My priest in Baltimore always used to compare it to a train that you, when Lent starts to approach, you hear this whistle way off in the distance, and then you know the train is coming, and you face the question, am I going to get on the train called Lent and really ride this thing the way the ancient church has said we're supposed to ride it, right to the biggest feast, the biggest day, the most important moment in all of Christian doctrine, which, of course, is Easter or Pascha. So, do the editors want a story about that? Or do they want top 10 things to give up for Lent this year?
So, I take it... This has kind of happened over the last couple of years as social media has burgeoned. The changing of one's profile picture to feature your forehead smeared mm-hmm. with ashes.
Oh, selfie Lent.
Yeah, selfie Lent or ashies as they're sometimes referred to. I think you even made reference to an ash tag that is becomes mm-hmm. popular this time of the year on Twitter. These things aren't just simply trivializations. They are probably not newsworthy for the journalist who really wants to have his readers understand something.
Well, I think they are newsworthy, but they're newsworthy in terms of what they say about how most Americans approach religion. I guess the one that got the most attention this year, I'm looking for coverage tomorrow, and there were lots of advanced stories, was the glitter ashes movement this year, in which some gay rights organizations came up with the idea of taking the burned palm fronds from Palm Sunday, this is the tradition, and instead of putting ashes on your forehead, they are sending out to parishes that want it a combination of ashes and glitter so that you can mark your forehead in solidarity with LGBT gay rights at Ash Wednesday as a form of, I guess, penitence for all that had been done negative to gays and lesbians through the years. A serious topic, but is glitter ashes the way to go at this? This has inspired some debate, even among very liberal churches, on whether this is a positive idea to try to turn this very important liturgical moment into a political statement, or even one that's kind of... hipster or hip or oh so gay in the way that some people would say glitter is a symbol, you know, of calling attention to yourself that you're proud to be a part of the gay rights movement. So what is glitter and ashes about? I guarantee you there'll be more coverage. There's been lots of coverage so far. But this is American Lent in a lot of different forms. It's American Lent instead of Christian Lent, if you get my distinction. And that's a story there to really stop and think about. And it's going to take more than 6 inches under a photo.
Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem to pay this for the sins of the world at the cross is obviously the central theme, the driving force of Christian Lent. Is that newsworthy, Terry?
Well, it could be. I mean, let's go back to that confession thing. I've argued, I think you and I have talked about it before, I argue that one of the most important uncovered stories in Catholicism in the post-Vatican II era is the collapse of the practice of confession to a priest. Well, if in Catholic canon law, it's my understanding, maybe I'm wrong, but I've been told this by numerous priests and canon lawyers, that as close as you get to a mandate that you are supposed to go to confession is that if you plan to receive Holy Communion in the Easter Mass, you're supposed to have gone to confession during Great Lent. I know that's the case in Orthodoxy. It's a heavy emphasis in the parishes that I know well. So that if you have an ultimate symbol of Lent, it's the extra worship services, the prayer, the almsgiving, and confession. So maybe if someone wanted to do a serious story about Lent, they go to the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference, they go to other people, they go to this Georgetown Center that did this study, and try to find out if this increased interest in Lent among the young, is it having any impact at all on confession to a priest during Great and Holy Lent? That could be a serious news story.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the Weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
On the other side of the break, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. We're going to discuss two issues with him. One is religious persecution in China, which is on the rise as a violation of human rights, even while the Vatican is seeking to have some bishops ordained, at least among the Roman Catholics there in China. We'll also talk about a scientific theory that religion was key to human social evolution. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on Issues Etc. right after this.
There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The congregation at Lake George Lutheran Chapel is a proud supporter of Issues Etc. We are located on the western shore of Lake George. With the lake in view, Jesus still teaches from the boat of his church, and the people sit, listen, and are fed by Christ himself through his holy ministry and instituted means of grace. Every Sunday, 9 a.m., set your course to 1540 West 800 North, Fremont, Indiana. Like us on Facebook at Lake George Lutheran and find out more at lakegeorgelutheran.org.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Quality, quantity, qualified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree?
Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Law and gospel, the Reformation solas, the theology of the cross, the means of grace, simultaneously saint and sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040 or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.